thankful that we're all here safe and sound. We haven't done the count yet, but we're doing a lot better than last Sunday as far as people that can make it. And that is a blessing. That is a great blessing. I'm grateful for Hunter leading that song. The law of the Lord is perfect. And the instruction of God is much more valuable than any gold or silver. And all of us who can come together this morning and read His Word to reflect on His grace to us, we are very rich. I'm glad that you're here. This morning we're going to talk about, and well, I'll do most of the talking, hopefully, but we're going to read about in Scripture and think about together how we ought to pray to God and what the biblical example is to pray to God. The lesson is titled, Faithful Lament. If you want to open up your Bibles to the book of Psalms, we're going to be reading there most of our time this morning, the book of Psalms. We'll start, our first reading is in Psalm 7, if you want to turn there. As we begin, we open up the book of Psalms. It is the hymn book of the Bible. It is full, from the first to the 150th, of songs and prayers written to guide God's people in worship. We see every human emotion that you can think of in the book of Psalms as people come to God with their thoughts and their praise, with their concerns, and their problems. It is the beating heart of the Bible, the book of Psalms. It's an excellent place for us to read about what faith really looks like in our hearts. And as we read this book of prayers and songs this morning, I want us to start with a question. What is it that you pray about when you're on your own? We come together for worship services and we pray together as a church, as we should. It's very important. But there ought to be a lot of praying happening on our own. We are people of faith, not just when we're together, but when we're living our lives day to day. And I just want you to think about this for a second. I'll give a little time for this. What do you pray for? When do you pray? Do you just pray before meals or before bed? Do you have a regular time? What are the things that you regularly say to God? I want you to think about this. Often, as we should, we give God thanks. Every day we have so many things to thank God for. I was just talking with Tommy this morning. You know, you go through an ice storm like this, as is rare for us. You lose power, you lose water. It humbles you. It's like, how much do I take for granted every day? Turn the faucet on, clean water comes out, no problem. Didn't have to draw it from a well or anything, right? We give God thanks for all sorts of things. We ask Him for help. We praise God, as is right. But as we think about our prayer life, a good question we ought to ask as we read the Bible is, where's all the complaining? Do you complain very much to God? Because when we read our Bibles, especially in the book of Psalms, so many of the prayers that we read are offering complaint to God. They're asking God why life is so difficult. They're asking Him where He is. And I think if your situation is in any way similar to mine, you can read some of the words in the book of Psalms, and it makes you blush. It makes you embarrassed. You think, how could someone say that to God? I don't think that I could pray like that. But what we find is that this prayer is all over the Scripture, and it's an important part of our relationship with God, being able to lament faithfully. We don't always use that word, but this is the word used in the Psalms, that we bring God our sorrows and our troubles, not just our thanks and our praise. Psalm 7, verses 10 and 11 says this of the Lord. Psalm 7, 10 and 11, my shield is with God, who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge and a God who feels indignation every day. Why do we pray to God and bring Him our sorrows? Why would we express our troubles, our doubts, and our fears to God? It's because God is not happy with the way that the world is either. Sometimes you bring a complaint to someone, and if they're not aware of it, or if they're having a really good day, you just feel like you're a wet blanket. You feel like you're raining on their parade. Have you ever brought a problem to somebody, and it's like, why are you bringing this up to me? You know, you're making everything harder by complaining. This is not the way it is for the Lord. Psalm says that the Lord is stirred up every day. That the Lord sees everything that is wrong in the world. He sees the brokenness of our lives and our communities, and He is not pleased with that. So we have someone that understands us, who feels more strongly about these things than we do ourselves. And what we find as we read Scripture is that biblical prayer is brutally honest. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 13. Psalm 13. This is one of those psalms that is uncomfortable if you were to think that you could pray these words yourself. The psalm begins by saying this: "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long will my enemy be exalted over me?" Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? Perhaps you have. You go in your room and you close the door and you say, "God, where are you? Why have you forgotten me?" This is the prayer that we read in Scripture, and it speaks to us. It is an example to us. What we find in the Psalms is someone who can speak to God honestly. And that is an important part of any relationship. God wants us to be close to Him. And He knows our thoughts anyway. Have you ever had someone, maybe it's a friend or a family member, and you can tell that something's bothering them, but they will not acknowledge it? Is that a trusting relationship? Is that a conversation that you can have openly? You know, you have a friend or a family member, and they're looking down all day. They don't eat their breakfast. They hardly eat their lunch. They're scowling when they look out the window, and it's like, hey, is there something on your mind? Is there something bothering you? And if all they ever say is, no, everything's fine. You know, thanks for being my friend. It's like, I know something's up. And if you trust me, if we really are friends, you can tell me. How much more so with the Lord? The Lord knows each of our hearts. He knows our thoughts. And if something is troubling us and we go to God and we pray and we pretend as if nothing is wrong, what does that say about our trust in Him? Do we feel close enough to God to tell Him anything, even if it's the things that we don't understand or are confused by? No, we see in Scripture that reverent complaint is necessary. Not complaint for complaining's sake or in an ugly way, but reverently. We read in Psalm 13, David says, "How long, O Lord? How long do I have to live like this? It's based on trust in God and honesty with Him. We can bring our sorrows to God because we trust that He has the answers. You don't complain to someone who can't do anything about it. You complain to someone who has the power to fix it. And when we come to God honestly like this, it is a show of faith. It is a show of trust and a need for help. When we pray in this way, it proves that God is present, that God is good, that He's in control, that He cares for us. If we never, ever, ever pray to God with our sorrows, when our hearts are heavy, either we don't trust God to do anything about it, we don't think that He cares about it, or we want to pretend that it's not happening. None of those things are good. None of those things are healthy. The Lord invites us. The Hebrew writer says that we have confidence to draw near to God, that He is eager and ready to help, that we should lay our anxieties at His feet. Life is full of trouble. It's not always trouble, but it is full of trouble. All of us have things that eat away at us at times. There's a time for everything. And when that time comes, whenever your life is turned upside down because you lose someone or someone becomes very sick, maybe you suddenly have a great financial trouble or your family is upended, and you look around and you say, I feel like everything is falling apart. I don't know what to do today. I don't know what to do tomorrow about this. The first step is to pray, because the Lord knows. And if there's anyone in the universe who can help you through this, it is God. You must talk to Him. You must tell Him. Let's look at a few examples in the Psalms of this and look about what the psalmists and what these prayers bring their troubles to God with. What are the problems that we can bring God to from biblical example? The first of these to see is sickness. We often have sickness in our prayer lists all the time, which is a good thing. The Psalms pray for these things. Let's look at Psalm 38. For each of these examples, I put three of them up here on the screen. We're not going to look at all three of them in detail at all. We're just going to look at one per thing, but if you take notes or anything like that, you can jot these down. If you don't take note, that's fine, but this is just to show you that there are plenty of examples of prayers like this, and Psalm 38 is one such example. David prays in this psalm, and he is expressing his sorrow because he's not well. He's sick, both in his body and in his heart. This sickness is attributed both to God and to sin. It's all bound up in the same thing. Look at what he says in Psalm 38, verses 1 through 4. He says, O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath. Your arrows have sunk into me, and your hand has come down on me. God is the one who's afflicting David. Verse 3, there's no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There's no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head. And like a heavy burden, they're too heavy for me. You'll notice the different reasons for David's sorrow here. He says in the first couple verses that it's the Lord who's afflicting him. It's the Lord's arrows. It's the Lord's hand that's laying heavy on him. But he says in verse 4, it's because of his sin. It's because of his iniquity. For David here, it may be that he's done something wrong. It makes him sick to think about his guilt. It may be that he's physically sick. Whatever it might be, when David is upset by something, when his life is disrupted, he goes to God and he tells God about it. And it's not just, oh Lord, please, you know, help me get through this and put your healing hand on me. He's expressing his sorrow first before he asks for anything. He says, Lord, I'm in trouble. I feel like I'm getting shot with arrows. I feel like I'm crushed under a weight that I can't carry. So when we're sick, it's not always because someone has sinned. Jesus teaches us that. But when there's something not right with our bodies, that's something that we can bring before God. It's frustrating. Sometimes we just get a cold and you know, you don't feel very good for a couple days. Sometimes people really get sick. And it's something that lasts a lifetime after you get it. That's something you can pray about. Something you must pray about. Say, God, this isn't right. I feel crushed by this. I feel like I keep hitting dead ends. Bring it to the Lord. Because He will listen. And He will help. We can pray for sickness. We can also pray for persecution. Trouble with people. Psalm 57 speaks this way, if you want to turn there. Psalm 57. Let's read verses 2 and 3 together. When David is in trouble, he has enemies, he says, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put him to shame who tramples on me. God will send out His steadfast love and His faithfulness. David prays here about the one who tramples over him. And if you've read many of the Psalms, there are so many Psalms that talk about the one who accuses him, or the one who is his enemy, or he feels surrounded by enemies. David had a lot of unrest in his life, a lot of strife with people. And when he felt persecuted, when he felt accused of things he did not do, David spent a lot of his early life being accused of being a traitor against Saul, being called a rebel, all these things that are not true. And when he felt these things, David did not go and talk to his friends, didn't go and gossip about Saul behind his back. He didn't try and find a bunch of people who agreed with him so they could make a big Facebook post and show this person who's who. He went to the Lord. And he said, "Lord, look at what these people are doing. Hear what they're saying. You need to make this right, God. Because we trust that the Lord is just. He's the one that takes care of these things. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord." And you'll notice in all of these Psalms, this is just one example, is that when David is seeking vindication for personal strife, it's based on the Lord's righteousness. Sometimes people can get this mixed up. You pray to God because you can't get along with someone or you have some strife, and it just becomes, who can get God on their side? You know, Lord, take my side in this argument. Or if I can quote some verse or something when I'm, you know, having trouble with whoever it is, then I'm in the right because who can argue with the Bible? And that's not what David does at all. He says, "Lord, you are righteous. You are just. Let your righteousness come down in this situation." Because anyone can quote a verse and say, "Well, the Lord's on my side." Anyone can read some verse out of context and say, "God will always love me." When we're in trouble, we look to God for him to make things right, not for him to just agree with us. But when we're in trouble and we cannot get along with people, when we feel hated and abused, we go to God and we tell him because he cares and he can fix it. And finally of these things that upset us that we must pray about, sin is the centerpiece of this. It is sin that causes all these other problems. It is sin that has broken the world. We go to God and we pray, not just, "Oh Lord, forgive me," but we tell God what this has done in our life. It's not just, "I'm sorry, please forget about this ever happened, God, amen." When we read examples like David, we see how much it tore him up on the inside, the things that he had done. Psalm 51 is the paramount. It's the example. He says famously in Psalm 51 in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me." He says in the same psalm that he's constantly aware of his sin, that it makes him sick. He feels like he's broken from the inside out, but he goes to God. There's a gut instinct in all of us when we've done something wrong to hide it, or to put the blame on someone else, or to justify it. But the example in biblical prayer is to go to God honestly, to pray to him and to express our sorrow for what we've done. When we sin, it's not just breaking a rule that someone made up. When we sin, we're showing our disdain for God. We're showing our stubbornness in our heart. And we see the consequences. It tears up relationships. It tears us up. It warps our character. And these are reasons to go to God. We tell God all the troubles in our hearts in this way. So whether it's sickness or persecution or sin, we go to God when we're troubled. And as we kind of draw this to a close, I want us to understand the movement that lament is pointed towards. Let's go back to Psalm 13, and we'll close with this psalm. Psalm 13. We talk about honest prayer. We talk about bringing God our troubles and our sorrows. When there's something that's eating us up on the inside, we have to pray to God about it. But what we find in the Psalms always is that when people complain to God in this way, these sorts of honest prayers express complaint but they also express confidence in God, they ask Him for help, and they almost always end in praise. Every single one of them. There's only one exception. Psalm 88 is the only lament psalm that does not end in praise. But Psalm 13 is just one such example. Let's read this. We'll just skim it briefly. The first couple verses. How long, O Lord? It says, Lord, have you forgotten me? Lord, where are you at? I feel alone. He's sending his complaint to God. In verses 3 and 4, he asks the Lord to help him. He says, consider and answer me. Lord, do something about my situation. Help me, lest my enemy rejoice over me. But where does the psalm end? Verses 5 and 6. But, David says, I have trusted in your steadfast love, and my heart will rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Every lament psalm, every time in these psalms that someone brings trouble before God, it ends with confidence that God can handle the situation and praising him for his goodness. When you start out a sermon and you say, where's all the complaining? Why aren't we complaining more? It's like, what is this guy talking about? You know, have you ever heard a sermon where people say, we need more complaining? Not quite. Because it's not just complaining that we're trying to do. If you're blessed right now and you don't have any troubles, don't go home and find things to complain to God about. That's not the point. But the point is, when we have sorrow in our hearts, when we feel crushed by the weight of life, we bring those things to God, but that is not where we stay. Complaint in Scripture always moves towards praise and reassurance. That as you're praying to the Lord, and you remember who He is and what He has done for you in the past, you say, even this right now, I can't see the end of it, I don't know how it's going to resolve, I trust that the moment here will be resolved. Because I know who I pray to. David says, in the same prayer that he says, Lord, have you forgotten me? He says, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Lament has its place in our faith, but it's not a place to stay. Philippians 2 is that famous passage. He says, do not do anything with grumbling or complaining. It's an excellent verse to quote to your kids. I heard that one a lot growing up. We don't grumble or complain, right? And that's not all that we do. We don't just say a prayer to God and say, God, my life is horrible. Amen. We pray and we say, Lord, I feel crushed. I feel alone in this. But I will trust you. Because you've been with me every single day. And every sorrow I have had before, I have come to the other side because you are faithful. So bring your sorrows. Pray in these ways. And move towards praise. Because he is worthy and he is faithful. It's always the end goal. I hope that this is helpful. If you're not going through a storm right now, you can file this away for the time that you are. If you do have burdens on your heart, take this home with you. Pray in this way when you are alone. Tell God how you actually feel, because he actually knows, and he actually cares. Let's all pray together now, and then we'll have a break before our Bible classes.